Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I am here with...
Susan Koch, Executive Director of the Middleburg Film Festival.
And...
Sheila Johnson, founder of the Middleburg Film Festival.
This is a highlight every year. I mean, I remember you guys coming in talking about it the very first year, and it's just awesome to see how much it's grown. I don't know if you probably don't have like stats on the top of your head, but give us a sense of how much it's grown. What year are we in now? Are we in like seven or eight?
Six.
Okay.
Yeah, this is year six. We are now up to 29 films, which is the most films we've ever had. So we've really grown, and we've got about 5,000 people coming.
I mean, we know that, the ticket sales have just skyrocketed, and we expect more people. I mean, there's a limit because we like the intimacy of the festival, so we don't want people to feel like it's going to get too big or crowded, but I think we've grown, and, you know, there's different ways to grow, and one of the ways we feel we've grown is by the talent that will be coming this year.
Yeah, and what I love about it is it's really the first place in this area where you can see a lot of these what are about to become major movies and major award contenders, and with the Emma Stones with La La Land, you know, every year you get them coming to promote it too. But talk about that a little bit. How this has sort of become, if you live in the DC area, this is your main place you want to go to see what's been buzzing at Toronto.
No, this is very exciting, and we've got some very exciting celebrities, guests that are coming. Should I mention one, Susan?
Let's do it. Name drop away.
Maggie
Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, that's kind of a big one.
Yes, that's kind of a big one. We've got Chris Bowers.
Right? Yeah.
And we also have Diane Warren, who's going to be performing. You know, she's a great Academy Award nominated songwriter. And she's done everything from Lady Gaga songs, Beyonce, Aretha Franklin, Celine Dion, Tina Turner, Elton John, Whitney Houston. You know, the list can go on and on. But we're very excited about having her, and she is actually going to perform.
Talk about that whole slice of it, because that's a highlight every year. And I know it's one of your personal favorites, because was it Mark Isham? And I remember there's been some good composers and musicians over
the
years.
Last year we had Nick Britell, and... we've had great composers, and we decided to mix it up a little this year. We thought it would be fun to do a songwriter as opposed to a film composer.
Yeah.
So Eric's really excited about that, and, you know, she's bringing in a band and singers, you know, vocalists, and but that's not to say we're not represented in the film composing arena.
Right.
Exactly. Oh, I love it. I love because a lot of festivals you talk about them.
We have another film composer coming in.
Chris Bowers.
Who is a film composer and for Green Book, which is our closing film, and he also he taught Mahershala Ali how to play the piano for the part for this film, and he's his double in it. It's actually Chris playing the piano, so he'll be doing a little music, wine, and conversation. We're calling it at the Green Hill Winery on Friday afternoon, so that's fun.
Yeah. Green Hill for Green Book. So remind us why you guys chose this for the closing night, what the story is about. Is this the Joel Edgerton directed one, or is that a different one? Okay.
It's with Peter Farrelly with Viggo Mortensen, and both Peter and Viggo Mortensen will be coming, and she'll tell you all about it.
Now, I'm going to tell you about it. I have not seen the movie.
Okay.
I'm going to be very honest, but I've been seeing trailers. I am intrigued by it. I can't wait to see it. But it's about an African-American concert pianist who hires a white driver to get him through.
I remember seeing
and
this.
And not just any white driver.
Right.
You know, this is
Viggo.
Viggo is
Mortensen,
a real character.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's like a reverse driving Miss Daisy or something.
Yeah, sort of like that.
You know, he is spectacular. And they both are. I mean, you're going to see Oscar nods for both of them.
Mahershala is
great. And he's, plays this, stiff, guy. And he's, a little bit snooty. But at the same time, here he is playing at these incredible places in the South, and he can't even,
get a room
or
use a restroom or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I still think it's a very timely movie because of even things that we're still going through, racial tensions at this time, but I think it's an important movie. I'm excited about it. And Chris Bowers, who's the African-American jazz pianist who worked with Mahershala to play the piano, is also a double is his double in the movie.
That's really
so
cool.
I think it's a really, I think, a very empowering movie.
Yeah, because I think it really speaks to, you know, they start out, and there's a lot of humor to it, but it's also very serious, you know, and they set out, the two of them, on this long trek through the South, and you see their relationship, and, you know, and as it starts to develop, and, you know, they began to see each other in a different light, and so it just seems so fitting as a closing film for us, because it's all about your common humanity.
I'm getting flashbacks of the bonding scenes in last year's my favorite one I saw there, Mudbound. You guys always have these great timely social ones. All right, so that's closing night, Green Book. Opening night, Roma. Okay, Alfonso Cuarón. I mean, arguably the best director going, one of them. You know, what, Gravity, Children of Men, Y Tu Mamá También, and now we go back to, it's Mexico City, right, black and white. Yeah. Give us the rundown on Roma.
I mean, it's an extraordinary film. I have seen it twice, and I just feel like it kind of just draws you in, and all of a sudden you find you're totally immersed in it. And it's Alfonso's most personal film because what he did is he painstakingly recreated his childhood down to the slightest detail, and it's set in 1971 Mexico City, where there was political turmoil and things going on. But it's really about the two women in his life at that point in time in his childhood, and it is his mother who's going through a difficult point in her marriage, and then his and it's so interesting because we have the lead actress who plays the nanny or house keeper coming, and the story about her is, I mean, Alfonso has been quoted as saying that she's the most extraordinary actress he's ever worked with.
Wow.
And she's now on all the top lists for an Oscar nod for best lead actress. Never acted before. She was found in a small village in Mexico.
Wow.
She wasn't even going to try out. She went along with her sister who was trying out. They needed more women to try out, so she tried out, and the rest, here you go.
And
it's interesting because we spent time with Alfonso in Telluride, and he explained how he worked with her. She never saw a script. So basically, he would give the script to the other people around her or talk them through it, and he would tell her what was going on.
Wow. And so she's just kind of reacting organically.
And it'll knock your socks off. And then not only that, it's so visually stunning, the black and white. I mean, it's just, and then 67 discrete channels of audio is how he, it's amazing. But we have done a lot of work in our theater, and we're going to have 7.1s around, and it's going to be an experience. And,
are we thinking Best Picture here?
I think so.
Leading contender?
There's one that Star is Born is getting a lot of buzz. It's already in theaters, and we show films before they're in theaters. But I think there's no doubt that Roma and Alfonso Cuarón, and I think this actress too, are high on that list.
Yeah, I just think the way it was shot, it's almost like it's going back, and it's almost like a dream sequence that he's trying to remember. I just love the way it was shot in the black and white. It's just beautiful.
So him remembering back to his childhood,
I'm thinking
Amarcord or but less fanciful probably.
No, it's not fanciful. It's hard to explain. But you just find yourself immersed in this family's life, and it kind of sneaks up on you, and all of a sudden you think and at the end of it you just go wow. I mean, I think also it's so interesting to think of him doing Gravity and then doing this, and then you realize the breadth of his talent.
That shows the range of a filmmaker. Well, I'm excited to see it. That's the first one I'm going to watch when I come down, so I'm just going to kick it off, and everything else is going to be high bar. But what else do we have? Boy Erased?
Boy Erased, I think, is an incredible film. It's about, first of all, the director and the guy who wrote it,
Joel Edgerton,
who's going to be there. He was also played the husband in Loving.
Yep.
So in Boy Erased, he plays a self-anointed therapist at a gay conversion treatment center. So Joel Edgerton will be at the festival, as I said. But the thing that's really interesting about this film, and it's again a very timely film that I think the LGBT community can really relate to, and it's where this young man who's gay has parents. Father's a pastor, and so they do not believe in you being gay, and so puts him through this conversion therapy. And it's a very dramatic, kind of painful film to watch, but very telling and something that we all need to watch.
And ultimately, you know,
they come around. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a and Nicole Kidman plays the mother, and she's extraordinary. And Russell Crowe plays his father. And I think one thing that Joel Edgerton did so masterfully is he doesn't make villains. He more lets us understand everybody right. from their own perspectives. And
so you get the motivation a little bit.
Yeah,
here, even
and
from the,
you know,
antagonist.
Lucas Hedges, you know, who was in Manchester by the Sea.
That scene at the refrigerator, the freezer, remember when he has the freak out? I can't wait to see him in this.
You know, it's funny. So he's also in another film we're showing, Ben is Back. Now, that film is directed by his father, Peter Hedges, who did About a Boy and Pieces of April. Mm. He'll be coming with the other film. So we have, mm-hmm. So this is a, you know, an interesting weekend for, you know, the Hedges family. What else we have?
I like Can You Ever Forgive Me? That's the Melissa McCarthy film.
Oh, yeah.
And Richard Grant. I just think that they're brilliant in this movie. And the thing that I loved about it was seeing Melissa McCarthy in a more of a dramatic role than other her.
Yeah.
And there's still that comic effect, too.
Sure.
But the whole story, it's a true story about forging letters so that she can make her rent and everything. And she eventually gets caught, so forth and so on. But I just love the acting in this film. I just think it is very entertaining.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a great mix this year. We also, you know, we don't want to leave out our Saturday night centerpiece film, which will be repeated on Sunday afternoon, The Front Runner. And it's directed by Jason Reitman, who people know from Up in the Air, Juno, most recently Tully.
Love Tully.
Yeah. And Jason will be with us along with the screenwriters.
And what's Front Runner about? Remind us.
Front Runner, it takes place over the course of 3 weeks when Senator Gary Hart was 1988 presidential campaign. You know, looked like a he was going all the way, and there were rumors about some marital issues, and he kind of dared the reporters, "Well, put a tail on me," and two Miami Herald reporters did just that, caught him, with this woman, Donna Rice, who, within 3 weeks, the campaign was over. His presidential ambitions were completely shut down, and it really forever changed the way, the press covers politics and political politicians. So it's going to be a great film to see in Middleburg because we have a good DC contingent, and of course Jason Reitman is such a great director.
Of course. Well, and isn't it that was the one that kind of first started. I mean, it was pre-Lewinsky, it was all that.
Yeah.
And but isn't it crazy how it's changed? Like, that brought him down, and now you can be paying off porn stars and getting away. Like, how is that?
Yeah.
How? What happened? I mean, that's above all our pay grade.
Because everybody's now accepted it. It's just the way they party, it's the way they're going to live their lives, and everybody's, well, so what?
Even as recently as, John Edwards, that knocked him out. But and it's crazy how much, I don't want to say how far we've come, how far we've fallen on that front,
exactly.
That's nuts.
So I think it'll be a really great conversation afterwards, which, Ann Hornaday of the Washington Post will be moderating on.
Love Ann.
Yeah, we love her, too. And then we have conversations, we do these really wonderful Saturday morning conversations in the library at the Salamander Resort. Mm-hmm. They're very intimate. We'll have one with, Jason and one with Joel. And, of course, I have to mention that we're doing this fantastic event at the Boxwood Winery on Saturday afternoon. And for all you that disagree with the critics and have strong opinions, this is your chance to talk back to the critics, and including talking back to Jason Fraley of WTOP and some others. And we did it last year, and it was such a hit that it's back by popular demand. Have a glass of wine, loosen your inhibitions, and tell them what you think.
Yeah, Nell, Susan, Travis. I went was in the audience last year with them, and they're like, "What are you doing? Like, you should be up here with us." So the four of us are going to take it this year, and just come with your questions. Well, thanks so much. I know we're getting the go home, so thank you.
Thing.
Yeah, how do you want
to? Say that one of the things we've started doing is really showcasing these foreign language films, and they're fantastic. We have 8 country submissions this year, and we're bringing in the Lebanese director of Cabernet. No, Nadine Labaki, and she grew up during the Civil War in Lebanon, and her film is extraordinary. Yeah. And I really, she uses real actor, I mean non-professional actors, and this 12-year-old kid in her film is like nothing you've ever seen. So, you know, one thing we've been telling people is if you're the film that you had your heart set on and it's sold out, you know, take a chance on another film because there's always, you know, four films showing at any given time.
There's not a bad film in the lineup.
And in closing, right before I leave, I want to get one soundbite on why it's such a picturesque time of year to head out to Middleburg. That, to me, that's the big selling point. Not just the movies, but talk about the atmosphere.
Oh, it's beautiful out there. The leaves are changing. It's now chilly. And we just have a lot of fun, parties, and it's big open space, and everyone can walk around and enjoy the town.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Can't wait.
We can't wait to see you and everyone else. And if you want tickets, go to middleburgfilm.org or download our mobile app, which is great, free, Android and iPhone. And that'll tell you what screenings still have availability.
Right.
Awesome. Can't wait. Thank you.